Matthew chapter 2 from verse 1 through 12. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to your word once again, we pray that you may enlighten our minds and hearts with your Holy Spirit in order to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, as in the Christian world, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is remembered and celebrated these days, it is always, always good to know what the Bible, the Word of God, tells us about the events that happen and the meaning of Jesus' birth. And this is what we're going to learn with God's help today from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king." Notice how Matthew begins referring to Jesus' birth. That means that when the wise men came to Jerusalem looking for Jesus, he was already born. And the fact, brothers and sisters, that Matthew mentions Jesus' birth again, it gives us the foundation of the meaning of this passage, because the birth of Jesus was not just another birth, was just not another boy that was born in Bethlehem. Actually, we read in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 21, that Mary will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So this baby that was born is actually the Savior of his people. And notice as well in verse 23 that it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So Matthew chapter 1 begins with that. Connecting this passage to chapter 1 and reminding us that he is going to talk about the Savior of Israel, the Savior of the world, and also that this child is truly human, but also is God with us. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Notice that what Matthew is relating to us in this passage is true history. It gives us the name of Bethlehem of Judea. And the reason of that is that there were actually two Bethlehems in the land of Israel. Bethlehem of Judea, the one mentioned here, but also there was another Bethlehem that was more north in Israel. So now Matthew says that Jesus was born in the days of Herod the king. And it's not only the Bible, but other books, historical books, that speak of the existence of Herod the king, a king that was appointed as such by the Roman emperor. And this king was a very unique king, not because of his goodness, not because of his tender heart, but he was an evil king. He was a king who at this time was very old, and he was paranoid already. He was fearful of his own family, his own relatives, and people around him, because he thought that they were going to betray him, and some of them were going to be a king in his place. Herod the king is also known as Herod the Great. He didn't hesitate to kill one of his wives and also two of his children. So do you think that he was going to hesitate about killing the baby Jesus? So this is the historical setting in which Jesus was born. This Herod the king, actually the Roman emperor, he said that he preferred to be Herod's pig than Herod's son. His pigs were more, you know, safer than his own children. So this was truly an evil king. Well, in that time, Matthew says, behold, and that is an expression that calls our attention to something important, something that happened, something unexpected in this time. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Wise men, most probably this word, or magi, as other translations say, refers to learned men, perhaps to astrologers used in a modern time, who devoted their times to study the heavenly bodies, the planets and the stars, and they obtained some insight of the things going on earth from their study of the heavenly bodies. So these wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. The expression from the east is very hard to define from where they came. The options that historians give us is that probably they came from Persia, from Babylon, from Egypt, and the fact that they come looking for the king of the Jews is probably an indication that they came from Babylon, where there was a big Jewish community, and they were perhaps acquainted with the Messiah of the Jews. So they came from the east to Jerusalem. And that is very important, because the fact that they came to Jerusalem means that they didn't know exactly where Jesus was going to be born. As in ancient times, they thought that the king was going to be born in the capital of the empire. So they come to Jerusalem. And then in verse 2, we read the following. They came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Brothers and sisters, it's possible that these wise men came in a caravan to Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't mention that they were three, neither mentions their names. But if they came from Babylon, they have to travel hundreds and hundreds of miles. They were exposed to dangers. They were exposed to thieves. They were exposed to be killed by people assaulting them on the way. So probably they came in a large caravan to Jerusalem, and that got the attention of the people in Jerusalem. And then they came asking, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And notice the contrast with verse 1 that it speaks of Herod the king, the evil king. And now they come asking for the one who has been born king of the Jews, in order to teach us that Jesus indeed is the true king of the Jews. And as we will learn later, he is also the true king of the whole world. But notice, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? That expression communicates the idea that even the infant Jesus, even when he was born, he was already king of the Jews. And then they say, "We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." They were observers of the heavenly bodies, like the planets and the stars. And they use an interesting expression. They say, "We have seen his star." Most probably God used their own profession, even though they were not believers, but God used their own studies to show them that an important king was going to be born. And they speak of his star, which means, among other things, that Jesus, the one who was born in Bethlehem, this infant, this baby, was also the creator of all things. And the stars and the planets and all the heavenly bodies belong to him. That's why we do not worship the sun. We do not worship the moon. We do not worship the stars. Because all of them are created by God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are in service to him. But it also means, when they say we have seen his star, that was a star that God showed to them and indicated that Jesus was going to be born in Israel. In verse 3, we read the following. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Notice how in verse 1, 2, and 3, the word king is mentioned in every single verse. King Herod, King Jesus, and again, when Herod the king heard this. There is a main idea, a theme in this passage that calls our attention. Matthew is talking to us about two kings. And he's also telling us that Jesus is the true king. And that there are other kings, like Herod the king, who are not happy with Jesus' birth. So, who is the true king? Herod or Jesus? We read, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Matthew says that Herod was troubled. indeed, he was already an evil king. And as we said first, if he didn't hesitate to kill his own wife and two of his children, he was not going to hesitate to kill our Lord Jesus Christ. So he was troubled. He thought, well, something is happening that is not in line with whom I am and what I believe. He thought he himself was the true king of the Jews. And notice that all Jerusalem with him was also troubled. The people of Jerusalem knew Herod. He sent to murder a lot of Jews. He killed his own relatives. So they were probably troubled because of the fact that if another king, and in this case the true king of the Jews, was born, Herod was not going to remain quiet. He was going to search for this king, and he was going to kill whoever supported this king. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Brothers and sisters, Herod, the king, he was acquainted, generally speaking, with the birth of the Messiah. He ruled over the Jews, and he knew to some extent their beliefs, and he knew that they were expecting their Messiah to come. But he wants to make sure he knows all the facts about the birth of Christ. And that is why he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. In that time, brothers and sisters, the chief priests remained in office only for a short period of time. To be the high priest, according to the Old Testament, was a lifetime position. But in the time of Herod, because he was ruling over the Jews, he put chief priests and he deposed them as he wished. So the chief priest refers to already still living high priests who were not in office, but also the living high priest who was in office and the family of the high priest. And the scribes, they were the scholars. They were the ones who knew the Old Testament. They were the expert. So if you ask them any question about the Old Testament, they would answer it right away. As you are familiar with our children and your own children who already were confirmed when they were memorizing the catechism, it is really amazing how they answer their questions and answers. And for us, even though I am not that old, but my memory is not working that well anymore, and it's amazing how they answer questions, all the words from the catechism. Well, these scribes, many of them, historians say that there were actually remarkable scribes who have memorized the whole Old Testament. They knew the Old Testament. They knew all the prophecies. They knew all the facts. And notice that Herod, he's smart. And he's gathering these people, the experts, to ask them. He wants to make sure. He says he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Notice that Matthew says that Herod inquired of them where the Christ. That's an interesting expression. He doesn't speak of Jesus only as the King of the Jews, but he speaks of him as the Christ. And what is the significance of that? That Herod knew that this king of the Jews was the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. That this king of the Jews was the anointed one, the one anointed by God the Father and the Holy Spirit in order to be the king of the Jews and the king of the world. So that's why he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. You see, Herod was somehow familiar with the coming of the Messiah, but he didn't know exactly, as the wise men didn't know either, exactly where Jesus was going to be born. Verse 5. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Brothers and sisters, in this time, every single thing that Herod the king did was calculated. And perhaps he calls the chief priests and the scribes not only because of their knowledge of the Old Testament, but he also wants to test them where their loyalty was. Were they loyal to him? Or they were going to be loyal to the true king of the Jews? And this is another idea, another theme in this passage. Are we loyal to Christ, the true king of the Jews and the king of the world? Or we are loyal to other kings in this world? Notice what they said. They said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. You see, they knew the passage. They knew the prophet. They knew the wording. They have memorized it. And they were probably trembling in the presence of Herod. Because if they show any sign of loyalty to this new king, the king of the Jews, Herod would not hesitate to kill them as well. But they say, yes, the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, says that he will be born in Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. So Herod is having two important meetings. The first one is with the chief priests and the scribes to determine the exact place of Jesus' birth. And now he summons the wise men to determine the time of the appearing of the star. He wanted to make sure of the place and of the time in order to know how old Jesus was in that time already. So he called them, and the wise men, notice that in our translations they are called wise men, and indeed they were wise men, but they were not as wise to know that Herod the king was trying to get them in order to kill the baby Jesus. So they come to Herod. They talk to him about the time the star appeared. And then in verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. You see, evil people sometimes do not act openly wickedly. They are astute, they are smart, and they may deceive us sometimes. We happen to believe deceives, lies from evil people. They may show an appearance of goodness, of mercy, of being nice. And other people around you are just the evil ones. And the wise men believe that. He said to them, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. And by what verse 12 says in Matthew 2:12, that being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. That means that the wise men actually agree with Herod that once they found the baby Jesus, they were going to return to him. Bring a word to Herod of the place where Jesus was born, where Jesus was living actually. It's very interesting that Herod inquires all of these facts about Jesus' birth. You know, he wants to make sure how old Jesus was and where he was. So this means, brothers and sisters, that Jesus, when the wise men came to Jerusalem, Jesus was not in the stable anymore. He was in a house, as we read in later in verse 11. And when they had come into the house, you see, so the tradition that the wise men were at Jesus' birth in the stable is not true. So he was not in the stable anymore. He was in the house. So we continue. And in verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and it stood over where the young child was. You see, this was a supernatural phenomenon, a miracle, that when they heard the king, behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Notice, brothers and sisters, the words are very remarkable. Notice, there is an evil king, a king who is planning in detail to find the baby Jesus, to kill him, to destroy him. And sometimes, when we see how evil people act, their plans, their smartness, we tend to fear men more than God. But when we read that the Matthew says that they saw the star which they had seen in the east went before them. Matthew is telling us, do not forget. Herod the king, a powerful and evil king, was planning to kill Jesus. And he thought that indeed he had everything necessary to kill Jesus. And humanly speaking, he deceived the wise men. And indeed, if God didn't intervene, they were going to come back and let Herod know where Jesus was. But when he says that the star led them, went before them, Matthew is teaching us, see the sovereign hand and guidance of the Lord. That even though kings of the earth may plot against the anointed one, that kings and rulers of the earth plan to kill his son, everything is in control. And he frustrates the plans and the intents of evil kings. So we have to trust in this sovereign Lord who is guiding every single thing that is happening around his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The star stood over where the young child was, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced. The expression that Matthew uses is very unique. It says, they rejoice with exceedingly great joy. We don't speak that way, right, in our everyday language. But the idea is that they were so happy. They were saturated with joy. And that is what happens when we come and by the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ becomes the King of our lives. That joy and that peace surpasses all understanding. And remember, the wise men, they were traveling perhaps for months, exposed to all kind of dangers. They left everything. They didn't know they were coming back to their families. They could have been killed on the way. They left everything, and now they come, and when they, by the guidance, the direction of God, find the Lord Jesus Christ, they, Matthew says, rejoice with exceedingly great joy. And brothers and sisters, that is the essence of Christmas. The best gift of all gifts is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center. He is the reason of the season. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can fully satisfy our hearts. Who can bring great, exceedingly happiness to our lives. It is so sad, isn't it, when we see on TV, on internet, and other media, how people distort the meaning of Christmas. But for us, Bible-based believers, we know that Jesus Christ is the essence without which there is no celebration of Christmas. And then in verse 11, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, they fell down and worshiped him. The expression fell down or to fall down in the scriptures, especially when the Bible speaks of kings, is very, very unique. It's very meaningful. In the Western world, and we can watch movies about the King of England or other kings, you know, when people came into the presence of the king, they bow and they bow the knee and they reverence when they came into the king's presence. But not in the East. In the East, when people came and they had the opportunity to be in the presence of the king, they prostrate completely to the ground, their heads to the ground. They were like laying down, and it was a sign of submission, complete submission to the king. And this is what's happening here. The wise men, they are prostrating themselves. And notice, he still was an infant. But they worship him as the king, their king. And they prostrate, they submit their lives completely to him. And they worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they open their treasures. They left everything back home. And now they bring royal gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, Jesus, we come and we bring these gifts to you. Expensive, royal gifts that belong to a king. And then verse 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. You see how God frustrated Herod's evil plans. And that's what we read in the next section. Brothers and sisters, what is that we learn from this passage? There are many lessons that we learn. One of them is that even though kings of the earth, they present themselves as the true king, we know that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. It wasn't Herod, but Jesus, the true King of the Jews. To whom, before whom you will prostrate. Before whom you will prostrate to the ground and submit your life. To Herod the king, or to Jesus Christ, the true King of the Jews. And brothers and sisters, today, as we learn from the scriptures, idolatry, loyalty, is not only shown to images and statues of gold, wood, and stone, but we create our own idols. We create our own kings in our hearts. Will you bow before King Jesus? Or will you bow before your family, your job? Before something that you are very good at, before a boyfriend or girlfriend, before your school, before this, before that? Are you being loyal to Jesus Christ? Is he truly the king of your heart, of your life? Notice that when Herod inquired from the chief priests and the scribes who knew the Bible, who knew the Old Testament, they didn't follow the wise men. They decided to stay because they fear Herod more than Jesus Christ. They knew if they decided to go and look for the baby Jesus, Herod was going to kill them. But brothers and sisters, to follow Jesus, to say that Jesus is indeed the king of my life, is a matter, is a decision of life and death. And not only temporal, physical death, not only temporal physical life, but of eternal death or eternal life. Do you prostrate before Jesus Christ? Are you willing to leave everything for Him? Are you willing to leave everything that is putting an obstacle in front of you in order to come and worship the King? In order to tell Him, I love you. I want to submit my will to you. Thy will be done. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, who still in His infancy, as a baby, He was calling Gentiles to Him. And this is another lesson from this passage. That with Jesus Christ, salvation is being taken even beyond Israel. And remarkably, the Gentiles are the ones who are coming to the King. And His own people, John 1 tells us, He came to His own and they did not recognize Him. They did not accept in Him. They did not believe in Him. Not all of them, by God's grace. But salvation is given through the Lord Jesus Christ to Jews and Gentiles, to you and me, who now have the privilege to have Jesus Christ as the King of our lives, the true King of the world. And another lesson is that God, as the sovereign Lord, frustrated the plans of Herod. His hand was in every single event around the birth of Jesus. No king can destroy the true King of the world. No earthly king. They plot against Him, but Psalm 2 tells us that God laughs at them because He is the sovereign Lord. And He knew when Jesus was going to be killed in order to save us and become our Lord and Savior.